أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most beneficent. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, God willing, we are going to touch another important characteristic of Imam. You know that in the previous lecture or lesson, we talked about the infallibility of Imam. And we said that Imam who succeeds to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, should enjoy infallibility, should be provided with inerrancy. Inerrancy or infallibility is a self-restraining faculty that stems from within one and controls him and does not let Imam that he has to commit errors, mistakes, blunders, and sins. According to the Shia theologian school of thought, every Imam who succeeds to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, enjoys this characteristic. One of those terms and conditions that Imam should meet and Imam should fulfill, that is infallibility. And we did say that infallibility is not something that should be discerned or that could be discerned by the people. So due to this, we say that Imam should be designated, Imam should be determined by Almighty Allah's will. In respect with Imam Ali alayhi salam, it was done by Almighty Allah. As we recited this verse of the Holy Quran that Almighty Allah said, in the farewell pilgrimage of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, saying that, يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك. Declare what has been revealed upon you right now. وإن لم تفعل, if you do not declare what has been revealed upon you, فما بلغت رسالته. It is as if you have not done your whole prophetic mission. It seems that you have done nothing in your prophetic mission. So how important the declaration of Imam was that our Almighty Allah warned our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, that if you do not do this, if you do not convey this message of mine to the people, it is as if you have not done your whole prophetic mission. It is as if you have done nothing for these 23 years that you have been busy conveying the divine message. So the whole prophetic mission of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was bound to the declaration of Imam in pinpointing him as his successor. Moreover, we say that infallibility is something inward, something that relates to one's inward faculty or inward self-controlling or self-restraining faculty. So this self-restraining faculty cannot be discerned, cannot be distinguished by the people's choice, by the people. So the people do not have that much role in pinpointment or in appointing, in designation of Imam. Imam wins the legitimacy of him from the Lord. So this was what we touched in the previous session. There are various arguments, there are various reasons that favor the infallibility of the divine messengers. We see those arguments which we brought for you, dear listeners, when we were talking about the inerrancy of the divine prophets and messengers, the same arguments and the same reasons can be put forth in the God with the infallibility of Imam alayhi salam. So we say due to that, there is no need that we have to reiterate and we have to repeat all those arguments. But briefly talking, we should say that there were three categories. There were three types of reasons which favored, which proved the infallibility of the divine prophets. One of them was rational arguments. And the second was traditional arguments. And the third, that today, God willing, we are going to touch, that is mixture of traditional and rational reasons and arguments, which favored the infallibility of the divine prophets or imams. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, one of those most important traditional reasons that can verify or that can indeed prove the infallibility of Imam alayhi salam or A'immah, it is the tradition or narratives of Thaqalain. It is called in Islamic literary or in Islamic literature, it is called Hadith Thaqalain. This tradition or this narrative has been widely transmitted, is one of those frequently transmitted hadith, one of those mutawatir hadith, is Hadith Thaqalain, is this tradition that talks about two heavy weights or two important and priceless weights. So this tradition has been produced by our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, saying, when I go from this world, when I am going to visit my Lord and going from this world, traveling from this world, I will leave you two most precious and priceless things. And O my community, if you grasp these two, or if you hold these two ropes or these two important things, you will never be misled, you will never be misguided, you will never go astray. What are those two important and priceless things through which the Muslim community would never be prone to astray? So according to the tradition, that is Kitab Allah, Almighty Allah's book, the Holy Quran. If the Muslim community remain loyal to the life-giving teachings of the Holy Quran, indeed they will not go astray. And the second is Ahl Bayti, wa'itrati Ahl Bayti. The second is the family members of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. So then the people have asked our Holy Prophet, who are your family members? Your family members might be too many. Who are playing the role of authority that we should ask our religious injunctions, our religious rulings and teachings from them? Our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, in his household said, they are Ali alayhi salam and his two sons, and then some nine individuals from the descendants of Hussein alayhi salam. So the tradition is lengthy and I will read it for you, dear listeners, so that it should be is studied thoroughly, and through this tradition we can prove and substantiate the infallibility of the Imams. Because at the end of this narrative, or at the end of this tradition, our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, says that my Lord has said to me, my Lord has given this news to me, that these two precious things would never ever separate from one another, would never ever be detached from one another. لَنْ يَفْتَرِقَ حَتَّى يَرِدَ عَلَيَّ الْحَوْضِ. These two precious things would never ever separate from one another until and unless they come to me in the doomsday, until they meet me in the doomsday. So the very text of the hadith is as following. إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمُ الثَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَعِتْرَتِي. This tradition is one of those most frequently narrated and transmitted narratives of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, that both the Shi'ites and the Sunnites have recorded them. Both the Shi'ites and the Sunnites have recorded this tradition and narrative in their traditional sources. So the content is this, that I will leave you behind two precious things, that if you hold them tight, if you were loyal to these two precious things, if you follow these two things, you will not be misled, you will not go astray. For these two will not be separated unless and until they meet me in the doomsday. So how we can deduce the infallibility of Ahlul Bayt, the family members of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, in his household? Our Holy Prophet has said that they will not be separated from one another. Ahlul Bayt, the family members of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, would not say something that should run counter to the Holy Quran's teachings. They will not issue verdicts. They will not interpret the Holy Quran in a manner that should be against the objectives of the Holy Quran, that should be against the objectives of the revelation. So if they were not infallible, why we should not give this assumption that their interpretations would go counter to the Quran's teachings? So they should be infallible, otherwise their interpretation in one way or other, in one way or the other, should go counter to the Quran's teachings. If their words were fallible, or if they themselves were fallible, they would have been separated from the Quran. But since our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, says that Almighty Allah has told me, Almighty Allah has given this news to me beforehand, that they will not be separated from one another, so it means that they are infallible. Otherwise, logically talking, why we should not give that they should issue some verdicts that should be counter to the Holy Quran? Since Almighty Allah has said that they will not be separated, and they are equal to the Quran, they are equal, they are parallel to the Quran, it means the things they say that is totally and 100% true from the Quranic perspective, and all what is present in the Holy Quran, they substantiate and they accept them wholeheartedly, they are complementary. This motto or this slogan is not true that Hasbuna Kitabullah or the Book of Almighty Allah is enough for us. No, there are many places, there are many parts that the Holy Quran is standing in need of a good interpreter. Otherwise, the text, like every other text, has this capacity to be interpreted in various kinds. So the Holy Quran is not an exceptional text in this respect, that it should not accept various kinds of interpretations. No, it accepts. But there should be a criterion. There should be a yardstick. There should be a standard through whom or through whose interpretation other interpretations are judged by, or through whose interpretation the rest of false and fake and fabricated interpretations should be discerned and should be distinguished. It is where our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, predicted that there might be various kinds of interpretation from the Quran. The Muslims are in dire need of people who should be infallible, whose interpretations should be standard and should be in accordance with Almighty Allah's will and pleasure. And due to this, he announced and he declared that it is my family members. They are the people whose interpretations are playing the role of model. And due to this, according to the Shiites, the Imams should be infallible and they should enjoy extensive knowledge. That the second condition of Imam is this, that they should enjoy extensive knowledge. They should enjoy God-given knowledge so that they should not face any challenge while interpreting the Holy Quran. So that matters most, that through this tradition, the infallibility of the Imams can be proved and can be substantiated. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, the third type of reason that today we said we would touch in respect with the infallibility of the Imams, and that is the mixture of traditional and rational reasons, that is this, that the Shiites were of the view that their Imams enjoy infallibility. And this concept is not something that should come or that should have emerged during major occultation. No. Those who believe that the concept of infallibility of the Imams of the Shiites have emerged or have appeared during major occultation, they are not fully aware of the Shia theology. And they are not fully aware of the traditions that have been produced by our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. You know that during Imam alayhi salam, they had discussions with their closest companions and friends and students. Some of their disciples have talked with Imam about this important concept. And Imam alayhi salam, being the wisest man in their age, being the wisest man in their time, the most trustworthy authority in different issues, they did not stop their disciples and students from this concept. If it was not true, I mean if their disciples have wrongly attributed infallibility to Imams, the Imams would have reminded them of this mistake. The Imams would have told them that you should not propagate this concept. But Imam alayhi salam have always kept silence. And this silence implies their satisfaction. This silence or this, we can say, consent that they have shown, it means, it shows, it implies, it connotes that they were indeed enjoying infallibility. Otherwise, they would have said, they would have removed this ignorance from the people's mind and from their disciples' minds. Because Imam alayhi salam is not satisfied that the people should be ignorant or the people should have superstitious beliefs. if it was a kind of superstitious belief, or if it was a kind of exaggeration, the imams would have told them, would have reminded them, would have warned them that you should not go and spread this concept. But there is not any record, there is not any tradition that should have said that Imam alayhi salam stopped their disciples from this concept, I mean infallibility. No. Imam alayhi salam kept silence, and it shows that they were satisfied of this concept, and this concept was not something counter to their belief, counter to the Islamic teachings. And due to this, some of their companions, some of their closest, we can say companions and disciples, such as Husham ibn Hakam, they have talked, they have discussed about this concept. But in nowhere we have this record that Imam alayhi salam have stopped them. So, respectable audience and distinguished listeners, today we talked about the infallibility and inerrancy of the imams. I mean the Shi'ites imam. So, God willing, in the next session, we are going to talk about their knowledge. You know that talking about the imam's knowledge is something important. In the next session, God willing, we will cover this important issue. May God bless us all, that we be guided in this straight path, and we enjoy a happy life in this world, and a happier life in the hereafter. And may God resurrect us with His noble creator, Muhammad, peace be upon him and his household. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.